So we're here on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. And we started this Braisa, which is, I'd say, about 10 lines down from the top. And the Braisa is darshaning the Pasuk and going through each word to teach you Halacha in terms of who's chayav golos and who's not. And I think what we got up to is, O Hishlich Olav. The Pasuk says, O Hishlich Olav. And the Braisa derives from this, Lahavi. Lahavi always means a ribui, to include Yerida, Shehi, Litzarech, Aliyah. In other words, that even if your ultimate goal is to go up, which we said Derech Aliyah is Potter from Golos, but since he actually killed the fellow on his way down, that's called a Yerida, Litzarech, Aliyah. And here we mention that this is Machlokes between the Rambam and Rashi. The pshat that we said is Rashi. Rashi says, "Dibra maska lahavi yirida kigon harotze laharin yado b'koach." In order for him to bring the axe down, so he first bends his body in downward position. Mashpil tchilas gufo shochel afanov kidei laharin b'koach. That gives him an extra spring with extra energy. Ubashpolah. So as he was going down, in order to go up again, he killed someone horan. Delo tema, you shouldn't say hoil vitzarech aliyah, since his ultimate goal is to go up. Potami galus, because we already derived from the post of Ayapil, that it has to be on the way down. Kamashpil, no, this is considered on the way down. That's Rashi Shita. The Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach, Perek Vav, Lucky Gimel, says in the case of Yerida litzarech aliyah, you're potter from galus. And the word lahavi here in the Braisa means to include this case as one of the cases where you're potter from golos. That's how he learns the Braisa. And it's a little bit odd, as we said last time, why should you be potter from golos? In this case, the Rambam says, derech aliyah, a person when he's going up, he doesn't expect to fall backwards. Here, his body is on the way down. What difference does it make if his intention is to go up? Why should it be potter from golos? But that's the shittas around. Now, the Braisa says, below tzedia. Now, the word tzedia, the root of that word is tzad, which means direction. And it means that he did not intend to go the other direction. In other words, he, let's say, threw a stone. And the stone reached the direction that he meant to throw it, just that he didn't expect to kill somebody. Then he's chayav golos. However, prat, he's not chayav golos in the case of his kavin litzad zeh, the holchala litzad akri, threw the stone in one direction and it landed in a totally different direction. That's called karov liones. It's not shogeg, and it's excluded under this pasuk below tzedia. The question that I want to raise with you is, how did the stone end up going in a different direction?
Go like this, to throw it that way, and it
flew or something
like that. That way,
ricochet. Right? Ricochet, maybe the wind. I don't know exactly how this happened. In any event, yeah. Okay. I want to point out to you that Tosus has a kasha. This Tosus that I'm about to present to you is not here in Masechta Makos, but rather it's in Sanhedrin, on Daf Ayin Zayin. There's a whole sugya in Sanhedrin Ayin Zayin that addresses the issue of when you're chayev for ritzicha. What constitutes ritzicha? In any event, in that sugya, Tosfos asks the following question. The Gemara earlier has a derivation that if a person tries to kill an animal and instead he kills a human being, he's potter from golos. And that's derived, according to Rabbah, from the pasuk below das. Prat l'miskavin larog es ha-behema v'harag es ha-adam. So Tosfos asks the following question. Where exactly is the behema and where is the adam? Let's assume for argument, say we'll go through various possibilities. In one variant, you can have the animal on one side, let's say on his left, and the human being on his right. If that be the case, says Tosfos, then I know you're potter from goals for another reason, because below tzdiya, if you threw a stone in this direction and went to the other direction, then you're potter. So what do I need a special case of miskavin larog es habehem of argus
odd? So there's a straight line, one was in front of the other.
Excellent. Let's go through another variant. Another possibility would be there's a straight line. Oh. So Tosfos is not happy about that either. Why? Because take a look at the next line in our Gemara. The Gemara says, on the next part of this pasuk, it says in the pasuk, "Vasher lo tzada." So what is that teaching me? I mean, we just had below tzdiya. What's asher lo tzada? So usually, in a case of Rotzeach, he wanted to throw it somewhere close to him. Right? That's called Tzada, to his Tzad. Right? Here's a case, Prat, Lemiskavin, Lizrok Shtayim, Vizorak Arba. So he's throwing it in a straight line, and it goes in a straight line. But he meant to throw it a shorter distance, and somehow, again, we can figure out how, but the stone flew twice the distance. So if you compare this to the previous case of below tzdiya, pratim is kavim letzadzeh v'holcholom letzadacher, the only difference between the two is, whereas in the first exclusion, we're saying that it went in a different direction. We'll call it a horizontal line. Right? In the second case, it's going in the right direction, but it goes much further than he expected in that straight line. So Tosfos says, getting back to the case of Behema and Adam, if the Behema is situated in front of the Adam, then he meant to throw it two and it went four. So why do I need a special pasuk? I thought it was a very sharp question. In other words, basically Tosfos is saying that Adam and Behema would automatically, by passive elimination, fit into one of these two categories. Either it went in the wrong direction that he intended to, or it went the wrong distance that he intended. So one of Tosfos gives various answers, but one of his answers is that the Adam and the Behema are standing right next to each other. And basically, if he throws the stone towards the Behema, then it went in the right direction that he wanted, because the Adam is not in a different direction. So it's not that he's positioned, you know, imagine a segel, right? No, like a triangle. It's not that he's this fellow on the bottom of the segel, and the Behemoth is here to the right, and the Adam is here to the left. That would come under the pasuk of Belotz Dia, where he wanted to throw it north and it went south. But rather, the two are standing next to each other. If they're standing next to each other, then it landed in the same direction that he meant to throw it. It even landed in the same distance that he meant to throw it. He should have been more careful, knowing that a man is standing next to the animal, and because he was careless and he threw the stone and somebody got killed as a result, it's karav l'mezer, and therefore it comes under the separate p'tur of b'li das prat l'miskav. So now, again, just to summarize, we have three. It's not considered shogeg. But again, we have three cases, but they break down into two different categories. What we're looking at here in our sugya for today, below tzdiya, or asher lo tzada, is karav leonis. Because the stone was meant to be thrown in a whole different way. It landed at a different distance, different direction. That's karav leonis. in a case where he was this kavin laragus of behemah vargas adam, and they going to Tosfos, they were standing contiguous one to the other. That is a karv l'mezid situation. And even though at the end of the day, even that's potter from goals, but as we said last time, it's for a different fundamental reason with many nafkaminas, the most important of which is that now he has no refuge and he has to protect himself against the goal of Adam for the rest of his life.
That's worse.
Yeah, that's probably a lot worse. So again, what we have to decide is that the classical case of shogeg, which defines shogeg, is where the stone landed in the same direction at the same distance that he intended. However, he didn't know there was an Adam there. Or he mistakenly thought that the Adam was a behemah. You know, something like that obviously is negligence, and he's a murderer, but it's not karv leonis because it landed where he wanted. It's not karv lemezid because he didn't know in his mind that they were standing next to each other and there was an olam there. In his mind, he thought there was no olam. Next, asher yavo esrayehu bayah. This is already in Parshas Shoftim. This is already in Sefer Devarim. And the Torah describes the scenario in which Reuven kills Shimon the shogeg as Yah. They found each other in a forest. So they both are in the forest. And we'll see later on the cases, Rebbe and Chachamim, that's in the next mission on this page, where the axe, you know, he was chopping down wood from a tree, blah, blah, blah. But in any event, they're both in the forest. What's unique about the forest? What is the Torah telling us? My Yar Rishus la nizot v'la mazik likaneis l'sham. A yar is an open to the public area. It's not a privately owned forest. Af kol, any place that's similar to yar, rishus la nizot v'la mazik likaneis l'sham. Both the nizak and the mazik have permission to be there. And the Mefarshim explain that this comes to exclude a case where the Nizak enters without permission into the chotzer, into the courtyard of the Mazik. And the Baal HaBayis kills the Nizak b'shkaga, and he's parted from goals. Why? Because the Nizak had no right to be. So where is their goals in the case of Yar? Why Yar? Because there the Nizak had a right to be. So let's ask two questions, and they're not related one to the other. I mean, they're all about the same issue of Yar, but the first question we have to ask is, what would be in a case where neither the Mazik nor the Nizak had Rishus to be there? Is this halach of Yar coming to exclude a case where the Nizak had no right to be there? That's explicit in all the Mefarshim. But what about the case where the Mazik had no right to be? It was illegal. It was owned by a third party. They were both trespassing. Are we excluding any time where they're both illegal? Or are we excluding a case where the Nizak, the victim, was illegal? That's not clear. I looked around and I didn't find anything on this. It remains in my mind a suffix. I don't know.
Can't say it cancels it out for each other, and that depends on the other circumstances.
And what in that case, what? There would not be goals, or there would be goals?
It depends on the circumstances. What else happened? It neutralized the fact that they were both in a place where they shouldn't have been.
Right.
Then they come back to the standard of care that would apply to any situation. I mean,
so there should be goals.
They can't possibly, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think the Mazik has any. Like, if I'm trespassing to a place that has a big sign that says, minefield, do not enter, dangerous, criminal offense, enter here, and I'm throwing around stones that hurt someone, what is he doing there?
Different circumstances, but at the end of the day.
Right. And we both had no permission to be there.
Right.
And therefore, it's on it.
So is that the same, or maybe that's the same as Yar, where they both have permission to be there? I don't know. You know, the Mefarshim only addressed this question, and I can't be medaic from the absence of it, but it sounds like they're talking about excluding a case where the Nizak had no right to be there. But the fact of the mazik also likewise had no right to be there doesn't, I don't know, I didn't find it.
But worse than the garbage dump. Case later in the bar where it says a garbage dump, if it's a garbage dump where people wouldn't be there.
No, the garbage dump is where people go there to.
No, no, but that's the case that the Gemara needs to say. Because if it's a garbage dump that no one's ever there, then if,
but again, when you say no one's there, it's maybe for security reasons of people are afraid to go there or whatever it might be, but they're allowed to be there. I'm asking about a very unique case, which I don't think you'll find here, as far as I know, where they were both trespassing in someone else's
mishul. They're both trespassing, and it was normal for people to trespass, because you have to say that there needs to be a regular amount of people there. It needs to not be incredibly unusual for someone to be there. It would be onus, just like the garbage dump. Not a matter of permission, just a matter of regularity.
Okay, but again, my case is a different case. I'm talking about a case, Jonathan, where there are plenty of people there, it's not unusual, but the mazik, like the nizak, was trespassing. I don't know what the halach is. Does the fact that the mazik is trespassing make it in any way, you know, make it more mazed or what? I don't know. Okay. Now, if the mazik went into the nizak's rishus illegally and killed the nizak, then I would say that's karbul mizik. I don't know, again, I can't pass it for you, I didn't see anyone addressing this, but that's what I would say. Okay, now I get to question number two. Question number two is already written up. And this is Tosfos here, Dibra Maskel Maya. Before we read the Tosfos inside, I want to give you a little background. But you can follow it inside. The Mishnah later on Daf Ches, speaks about someone who throws a stone from his private property into Rishus HaRab, and he kills someone. And the Gemara says there's a case where Reuven, the Rotzeach, is chopping down his wall. He's chipping it down, he wants to get rid of it. That's called Soser Es Kosla. One of the stones rolls into the public area and kills somebody. And guess what? He's chayv goals for that. So Tosfos asks the following question. Yar means that both of them have a reshus to be there. They're both in the yar. In this case, the rotzeach is not in the reshus harabim. He's in his own private area.
But he has the ability to be in there legally.
Oh. So that's going to be Tosfos' answer. But I want to just spend a minute trying to digest Tosfos' question. Tosfos' question is, if I'm working in my own private backyard, true, I have rishus to be there, but the nizak, but I'm not together in the yard. In other words, if the Torah portrayed the paradigm of Ritzicha B'Shogeg as a Yar situation, then both the Rotzeach and the Nirtzach have equal rights to be together in that Yar. Here, the Mazik, the Rotzeach, is in his own private property. And one could ostensibly argue that that's not similar to Yar. So Tosa's answer is what Aaron answers, that when the Torah says Yar, it doesn't mean that they both have to be in the Yar. It means that their tzicha took place in an area, in a location where they both could be, because they both have permission to do so. Let's see the Lashon of Tosa inside.
The language of the Gemara says, Rishus.
Right. So that would support this chapter. He says, V'kosha d'mistama k'mochei neima ma'yar mokum sha'omit sham ha'mazik. So the mazik is in point A, and the nizak likewise has rights to be in that point A. But what about the case of Azorik Evin Lishus Arabim, which the Gemara says is Sosa Koslo? The Haraga Nizak, why? Because the nizak is in Lishus Arabim, and my goal is, says Tosfos, Vabi'in and Mokom Shiyehei Rishus Lanizak Lamazik Liyosham. They should both be together in the yar, a place where they both are allowed to be. The Eshlomer knows, says Tosfos. Delo yolif minei, we're not. It doesn't have to be exactly like the case of yar. We're not going to be required to duplicate all the circumstances of yar. Maybe you can't. What if he killed him in a park where there's no tree? So you can tell me this. It's not Dumya the Yar. Yar is trees. I mean, how far are you going to go? What we're learning from Yar is that it's a place where both of them could be, and that's where the murder took place. But it doesn't mean that the Rotsach has to be in that place. So at least that one, you guys.
Another question: the Mazik trespassed into a third party's yard because he wanted to remove some stones from a third party's yard. He wants the stones. Let's say he's stealing the stones. I don't know if that makes a difference if he's involved in some other crime besides the trespass. And the same case, he throws the stones into a Rishut Rabin, and the Nizak gets killed.
So again, I would say, again, Lefias Nizaki, he denied goals. I mean, it's a little bit similar to what we discussed before. If, let's say, they both trespassed. In your case, only one of them trespassed, but if the Ritzicha took place in a Yar, meaning a place where the Nizak and the Mazik could be there, I think you'd be high.
Doesn't make it worse for the fact that the Mazik trespassed himself.
I don't know. Again, is trespassing in any way a contributing factor to the negligence of killing someone? I don't know. I mean, you know, for trespassing, we could tar and feather him for trespassing. I don't know if that makes I don't know if that makes it more of a rotsach.
Even if, okay, go back.
Certainly, if the Ritzicha took place in an area where the Nizak had no right to be there, that's what we're excluding.
I understand. The Nizak had no right to be there. But I would ask another question. Even if the Mazik was in his own backyard, right, and he has a right to disassemble this wall, but I wouldn't imagine that allows him to just arbitrarily lob stones over the wall.
Right, right. And that Gemara says enough Chesis Chayev Golas for that.
Right.
But I would think that would become...
But Tosis was asking this Hamia, why should he be Chayev Golas if he's not in the place together with the Nisa?
I understand that. And
Tosis throws that out.
I understand. I'm asking a different question. You know, it would seem to me, if you're in your own property, you have a right to disassemble your wall, you still have to have a standard of care that says, I'm not going to purposely throw it in a favorite way where...
Well, again, I don't know if he... You know, there are different cases and we'd have to study each case. The cases where he was chipping away at his wall, the stones are falling in many different directions, and a stone fell in Rishus HaRabim.
Yeah,
again, there's definitely a very high level of negligence here. The fact that you're in your backyard doesn't mean that you can allow your stones to roll into the public thoroughfare. And he goes into Golis. All right. Bo minei Rabbi Avo mi Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Avo asks Rabbi Yochanan the following question. Haya ola basulam, he was going, climbing up a ladder. And normally in the classical case of Ritzicha v'shogeg that we've been discussing, he falls off the ladder and crushes someone. Either on his way up, on his way down, the whole discussion. But here, something different happens. The Nishmita Shliva, one of the rungs of the ladder collapsed. Mitatov. Mitatov means because of the weight of his body. Vinafla, and it went flying. Viharga. I mean, you can imagine if it's a serious piece of wood and it's coming down with a fierce momentum and it hits someone in the wrong place, it could happen. And certainly if it hits a child. Mount, what should we say? Kihai Gav, in such a case, is this considered derech aliyah? Aliyahi? In other words, let's look at the person. He's on his way up. Oh, you're either he, because we should look at what? At the rung, the piece of wood, and it's on its way down. So it's interesting, Rabbi Osai, this question, Rabbi Avo, l'chora, is not identical, and that's going to be a problem for me in the next line of the Gemara, with the question that we had before, if you read the Litzarach Aliyah. Right? You could argue, let's read the next line, Amar Le Rabbi Yochanan responded to Rabbi Avo, Kfar Nagata, we've already touched this case, why are you asking me this question, so to speak? Be a Ridishi Litzarach Aliyah. And let's go according to Rashi's Pshat, that you read the Litzarach Aliyah is Chayev Golos. This is Yerida, Litzarach Aliyah. Why is this rung on its way down in a downward motion? It's because you want to go up. But Rabbosai, frankly speaking, I don't understand Rabbi Yochanan's analogy and why he completely rebuffs Rabbi Avo, you know, like this. He snaps his fingers and says, what are you asking me? Yerida, Litzarach Aliyah means that the human being is on his way down. His intention is to go up. So he bends his body down, as we said before, he wants to get an extra force, an extra momentum. So when he springs back up,
he gains that momentum. Fine, so that's called Derek Yerida, and Yechayv goes. Here we're asking a different question. Rabbi Yavon wants to know, where do you put the emphasis when you talk about Derek Yerida? Is Derek Yerida on the object or it's on the person? We're not talking about now intention. Leave out intention. Intention is not the critical, shall we say, core of Rabbi Yavon's suffering. What do you say?
Have a difficulty with the whole case because it's totally misunderstood. It's not going to show you.
Well, we're going to see very often, and we'll probably get to it in about 15-20 minutes, that if you're using a utensil, you have to make sure that utensil is in perfect shape. So you could be misasa. You know, a guy is chopping wood, and the... Again, I don't want to... In 15 minutes we'll get to it, so I don't want to jump ahead. I don't think that's the best pedagogical way of doing it. But, a piece of metal flies off. That would be a classical misasa case. But the answer is, all right, it's misasa. But it doesn't matter. You killed him. You put in a force by, knocking the axe that sent the ball of the axe, the metal of the axe flying. And you chayev misa for that, if it would mase it. You did it b'shogi, but gee, don't just wipe your hands clean of it. There is an element of negligence here. Again, if you should have checked the axe. That's a premise that I'm making. That's a very questionable parrot. So you're climbing up a ladder. And the rungs of the ladder are not very strong. How do I know this? Because one flew down and killed somebody. So there is an element of negligence. But I don't know, it might be Derek Yerida. Because the shliva is going down, correct? But on the other hand, the person is on his way up. So should we focus on the motion of the person or on the motion of the shliva? I think that's a valid question. So I'm just trying to spend a moment of my time and your time to try to rack my brains and figure out, what exactly Rabbi Yochanan was thinking. Why does he have a right to be machriya the safek based on the case of Yerida Litzarech Aliyah? So I see here in a footnote in the name of the Cheshek Shlomo that he says that the man himself is going down. That's pretty strange. When you climb a ladder, you don't go down.
There's the rung broke.
Yeah. That's what he says, that in the process, in the motion, or let's call it the process, if we can split seconds, fractions of seconds, what do we see happening here? The man is actually sinking down. As he presses the shleva and the shleva goes down, he's in a downward motion. But his intention is obviously to go up. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan said that you're right. I don't care about the shleva, whether the shleva is going up or down, which way it's flying. I care about the person. And the person is on his way, he's on his way down, but he's on his way up. Do you follow what I mean? He's physically on his way down, but mentally, intentionally, he's on his way up. And that exactly fits the bill for what we call Yerida Litzarech Aliyah.
Not exactly, though, because in the case of the axe, when he bends down to get that momentum, he is consciously going in Yerida before he goes to the Aliyah.
It's intentional.
Right?
Yeah.
Here, it's an accident. I think broken. He didn't intend to go down. He had no interest in going down. He's trying
right.
to
climb so, down. Look, Alan, the truth is that intention with regard to Yerida and Aliyah is very appropriate for the Rambam Shita. Because keep in mind, the Rambam tries to explain rationally what's the difference between Derech Aliyah and Derech Yerida. We saw the Meiri, and they talk about where he's more careful, where he's less careful. But Rashi is operating with the mechanics and the rules and regulations of Derech Aliyah, Derech Yerida. So I don't know, as long as there's an element of negligence, I don't know if according to Rashi's Hashkafa, it makes any difference whether he intended to go up or he intended to go down. Anyway, look at the next line in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan is now accosted by Rabbi Yavon. In other words, on the one hand, Rabbi Avo asked Rabbi Yochanan this question, got a pretty intelligent answer. Again, we worked hard to try to understand it. But yet, Rabbi Avo thinks that Rabbi Yochanan is contradicting a mission. How so? Esme. Rabbi Avo throws the following curveball. He says, look, Zehakla, the Mishnah says, we saw it on the second line of that page, that there's an overall rule, and the Mishnah is going to formulate that rule. Now you should know, if you don't know it, I'm sure you do, but just in case, that whenever you see the Mishnah Zehaklal, it's coming to include something. Something that we wouldn't have known. And keep in mind, before the Zehaklal, the Mishnah is already spelled out in many different scenarios that it's got to be Derech Yerida in order to be Chayav Golos. But yet the Mishnah found itself compelled to formulate a principle. But it's even more than that. The Mishnah does what I call a Tanai Kofel move. It's not enough to just to say that you're only Chayav Golos if it would be B'derech Yerida, right? Zakhal Kolshim B'derech Yerida So Golem. The Mishnah even has to go a step further and exclude another case of Shalom B'derech Yerida So. That's already pushing it too far. Keep in mind, Rebbe counted every letter. He was very stingy on ink. And the Mishnah says, Shalo b'derech yiridoso eino gola. So the Gemara says, Shalo b'derech yiridoso eino gola. Wait, that's an extra three words in the Mishnah. It must be lasuye mai. It must be coming to include a certain case in the category of derech aliyah, which means in it's a ribui that you're potur from golus. And Rabbi Avo says, my love, the only case I could come up with logically is la suye ki hai gavna, the case of the shleva which goes down, which should be viewed as derech aliyah, and there should be no golus. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan, you with your logical analysis came to the conclusion that the shleva case fits under Yerida litzarech aliyah, and therefore your verdict, you issue the verdict that he's chayev golos. Says Rabbi Avo, that's fine if you only have your human logic and you're analyzing it. But what about the Mishnah itself? The Mishnah adds three words: shalom kederech yiridoso, shalom b'derech yiridoso eino gola. What is that coming to exclude from golos? It must be that it's coming to, again, I don't know why there, the human imagination can come up with probably 1,000 different possibilities, but Rabbi Avo is very fixated on this possibility, where he's climbing up the ladder and the rung is crushed and falls down and kills somebody. That is considered derech aliyah because he's climbing up the ladder. So Rabbi Yochanan turns the tables back on to Rabbi Avo, Ulitai Meich. You're trying to look for extra words in the Mishnah. Well, what about Kol Shebederech Yiridoso, which is the ratio of the Sefer, meaning the ratio of the Zaklal, which means you are high of goals if it's Derech Yiridoso. Lasuye Mai. Those words are also superfluous because we've already established in the Mishnah, in a few cases, that you chayav golos when it's derech yiridoso. So why'd have to tell me kol sheva derech yiridoso gola? The kol must be coming to include something. And logically, if it's coming to include something, then it should be coming to include the same scenario that the sefer kol shalom derech yiridoso eino gola is excluding, meaning a case of shleva. So now we have an absolute contradiction. Because Kol Sheva Derech Yiridoso Golos says in the Shleva case he should go into Golos. And Kol Shalova Derech Yiridoso Eino Golos should be telling me in the Shleva case he doesn't go into Golos. So basically we're left with a stalemate. So in other words, you're barking up, well, okay, I don't want to say up because then he's potter for Golos, but you're in the wrong league over here. You know, you're going down the wrong highway. Because if you're going to tell me that the Zehaklal is coming to address the case of Shleva, then you have no right to say it's coming to exclude Shleva from Golos based on the Sefer of Kol Shalom. You should be coming to tell me that it's including Shleva and Golos based on the language of Kol Shevederech Yiridoso Golos. Therefore, I advocate, says Rabbi Yochanan, that we should take this Mishnah of Zechal in a whole different direction. Ella Lasuye, it's coming to include the case of Katzov. Hachinami Katzov. In other words, there's going to be a case of Katzov. Katzov is a butcher. And he's using a butcher's knife. And presumably he's cutting meat. Right? But unfortunately killed somebody. We'll see the variations where the knife went flying, which direction. And the beginning of this Zeachal is coming to include a case where the Katzov will be Chayiv Golos, and the end of the Zeachal, Shaloh Derech Yudosu, is coming to exclude in a certain scenario the Chayiv Golos. And now the Gemara is going to go ahead and quote a Brisa, and not only one Brisa, but four different Brisas, and these Brisas are going to all address the case of the Katzov. The Sanya we learned in a Brisa, this is Brisa number one. Katzov Shahayim Akatzev. So he's cutting up the animal, the meat of the animal, probably the bones of the animal, right? Because the Mepharshim say he used a very large knife, you know, which you need to cut bones. Very dangerous knife. Today you can go into Target and any one of these stores and you buy these knives. Do you ever see them? They're mamish killer knives. It's like frightening. But they work very well. I mean, not to kill anybody. I don't. So he says the following. So the first Brisa says that if he killed Bishogeg, Tanachado, if it was Lefanov, Chayiv. In other words, if the knife is in front of him and he kills somebody inadvertently, he's Chayiv Golos. Liacharov, if it swings in a backward motion, Potter, he doesn't go into Golos. Tanya Edoth, the second Brisa, says just the reverse. Liacharov, Chayiv, if it was in the back, he's chayiv lefana pot, what we call in Yiddish punkfakir. Besanya idok. Now we have a third brass. The brass says bein lefanov, bein liacharov, chayiv. And tanya idok, you guessed it, bein lefanov, bein liacharov potur. So we would probably spend a month or so trying to work this all out. The Gemara doesn't find it very challenging. Volokash, no problem. Yeah, four different versions. We'll work it all out. Don't get nervous. So the Gemara now goes Kisei in the very same sequence that we presented these four prices. Kan means the first price. The first price says that Yechayev for what? For in front of you, correct? If it's in front of you. What's the case of in front of you? Okay, so that's going to be Yerida Shelefanov. So what happens? The butcher bends himself forward, right? And he's holding on to this knife in order to pick it up, lift up his arms with the knife and get extra power, as we discussed before. Correct? So as he's bending his body down, he kills someone. Even though he's doing it for the sake of going up, correct? He's getting more leeway, more of an angle. So he bends his body down. Nevertheless, he's chayiv golos. Why is he chayiv golos? Because as we said before, you read the Litzarach Aliyah, it's chayiv golos. Fine. But Aliyah, when he actually begins to lift his hands up, correct? And he kills someone. Now, keep in mind, the first price says, how did he kill someone? Li'acharav. So what probably happened here, I'm just guessing, is that he's doing like a full swing, if you follow what I mean. In other words, he's moving his body forward, then he's going to go all the way backwards, with his arms at least, not his body, and his arms, by going backward, would again give more momentum, just that as he's going back behind him, he killed someone. And that case is Potter from Golos. That's already considered Derech Aliyah. Now again, I'm not 100% sure what the angle was when he killed the person. Was it exactly, you know, 90, at the zenith when he reached the top of his head? Or even beyond that when he went all the way back? I'm a little bit concerned because if it's on his way back, then he's in a downward motion. And that should be Derech Yerida. So I would be much more comfortable to assume that even though the Brice used the word acharav, it doesn't literally mean behind his back. Because if it's behind his back and his hands are in a downward motion, I'd be more comfortable to assume that acharav means right here at the zenith. But let's hold on and see how the story... Wait, okay. I'm sorry, Al, I'm just trying to... there's so many variations here, we got to... Maybe I overstepped my bounds already. So, now, Khan, we're up to the second Brisa. The second Brisa says the exact opposite. That if it was what? If it was Liacharov, then he's Chayav Golos. What's that? The Aliyah Shelofanov. In other words, he places his arms behind his shoulders, and on his way up, he kills somebody. And in that case, which is called Aliyah Lefanov, correct? But why is he Chayav Golos in this case? I'm sorry, I apologize. But I always get to this point where I feel I should have written this out by hand, but you see. Now we talk about the case of what? Of the second Brisa. And what's the second Brisa? The second Brisa says, Aliyah Lefanov. If somebody could double check me on that. I'm sorry, Aliyah Lefanov is Chayav. Correct?
So he's going down.
He's going down. Aliyah. Just 1 second. No. Aliyah. Oh, Liachov. Right. It's Liachov.
So it's down. He's going down. Like right. You said it.
Okay, so again, I think this would further support what I said before. I'm not sure, but I think so. That in the first case, it's called Derech Aliyah. In the second case, he went even further. He went behind his own shoulders, behind his back, and he killed somebody. That's called Aliyah Lachorov. Just 1 second. I'm not sure you call a losa on the car, lakas from Bezedin. In Harad, Kishahishkil Yodov Lachorov. So his hands are going back and he kills somebody. He's Chayav. Why?
Because it's going down.
Because it's going down, correct? Excellent. It's a Derech Yerida. Right? And that's called Lachorov. Lachorov here is a Derech Yerida. Before we had Aliyah Lachorov, and he was put. Why was he put in the first fight with Aliyah She?
This one seems more natural, the second one.
No, but I'm just saying, let's compare the first fight to the second fight in terms of Lachorov. We'll go step by step. You know, my mind moves very slowly, I apologize. But in the case of Lachorov, in the first Brisa, he's Potter, in the second Brisa, he's Chayav, in the first Brisa, it was called Aliyah Lachorov. In the second Brisa, it's called Yerida Lachorov. So there's a major difference. In other words, in the first Brisa, he bent himself down. If he killed somebody, he's Chayav. That's called Derech Yerida. On his way up, that's called Aliyah Lachorov. Again, I don't know where exactly he killed him at what point, but anyway, let's say it's parallel to his head. Again, just to make life easier for me, if you don't mind. And he's positive goals because that's called Derech Aliyah. What happens though if he continues in the swinging motion going behind his back? That's called Yerida Me'achorov, and there's Chayav in the second Brisa. Now let's talk about Lefanov. In the first Brisa, it was Yerida Lefanov. He was bending down in order to get the momentum. He killed someone on his way down, his Chayav Golos. In the second Brisa, we're talking about Lefanov, but it was Aliyah Lefanov. He had already bent his body down, and now he's on his way up again. And since it's Derech Aliyah, therefore he's potter. Good? What's the third Brisa? Now I think it goes easy. The third brisa says, in any event, he is chayav, correct? Why? Because it's a case of yerida molfan, which we said was there yerida, and shel acharav means he was on his way down behind his shoulders. So in both cases, there yerida is not. Kind of the fourth brisa is aliyah lefanav, which means that he was on his way up in front of his body, and then shalachorav means he made the full swing back. Now he's on his way up, and he's potter if he kills someone because he's there. So basically, just to summarize, to reconcile all these four brises, all we have to do is ask ourselves the following question: in what direction is he moving? Is he moving down? Is he moving up? And the answer is, he may be moving down milafonov. He may be moving down meachorav. He may be moving up milafonov. And he may be moving up meachorav. It doesn't matter. So again, if somebody would draw a little, a schemata here, a little bit of a sketch, it would be very easy to, with arrows, it would be very easy to see this. There's one arrow going down, right, where his body, he's holding the knife in front of him. The arrow then starts moving up, then it goes down again behind him, and then it goes up again when it makes the reverse. Go ahead. Now I think I'm oriented.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah, it takes me 10 minutes to figure out what you can figure out in a minute.
That's a singular technique for using this specific knife. He has a technique that's going to arc his body, going down, going up, going down, going back up, going back down. That's the position.
Right. Where it reminds me of the railroad workers. You remember they used to have those pictures of the pigs?
You see it every step away. You can freeze it. Where is his activity? So where did the Nirtzach get hit with the knife? Yeah. Which direction were his hands moving? Were they going
correct
in front of him?
Correct.
Going down in front of him.
So now let's just go back.
Same motion.
Let's just go back to the Mishnah, the Zaklal. So we have in the Zaklal Kol Shebederech Yiridaso Gole. So we could say the following: in the first case, he's on his way down, but he's really on his way up, and he's chayav because he killed him on his way down. Alternatively, it might be referring to Me'achorav on his way down, because there also is chayav goals, even though he's really intends to swing back up. And then in the Seifa, it says Kol Shebederech Shelo Bederech Yiridaso Eino Gola. In the case of Katov, what that means is that his hand motion is on its way up, but for the purpose of going down. And that's true in both cases. Whether it's, let's call it A, B, C, and D. Right? Would that make sense? Let's see. A, he goes this way. B, he goes this way. C, he goes that way. D, right? So in both cases, cases B and C, no, in both cases B and D, he's really interested in Derech Yerida, because that's his ultimate goal. But he kills B'Derech Aliyah. So the Mishnah says, "Kol Shebederech Aliyah so ein gol." Okay,
that's the interesting point here. The same activity, the exact same action, is being defined at different stages of that action. It's not about what he intends to do. It's not about his standard of care. He was doing the same butcher motion he always does.
So wait a minute, Alan. Can I reformulate your point? Are you saying that the Rambam is going to have trouble with this thing? Because the Rambam tries to find some rationale as to levels of negligence in Derech Aliyah and Derech Yerida in the case of the butcher. This is the standard thing. He does this 50 million times a day. He goes down, he goes up, he goes back, he goes forward. And I don't know, are we saying according to Rambam that at some point or other he should be more careful?
That's why you need the four variety, because
that's why you need what?
All four, right? Because there's no definitive, you can't say in a definitive way why he's high, because in right each step, there's a.
So look, if we were truly good scholars, what we would have to do, but it would require a whole new session, is take the Rambam out, study the Rambam carefully, and then go back to the sugyas and see if we can maintain the Rambam's approach. If the Rambam is just giving us, a little bit of a rationale, he wants us to feel good about it, and it doesn't have to apply strictly, literally to every single scenario, and the Rambam's going to admit that in certain cases we'll call it a low plug, you know, we're going to go with the flow, and it's derech yimi, derech aliyah, fine. But if the Rambam is to be taken absolutely literally and seriously, and every case has to fit that distinction as to whether it's karvel levezin or karvel onis, and whether it's derech aliyah, derech yirida, I don't know. That requires a lot of research. There can be so many variations here. I don't know if we're
going to... In the case that you're going down in front of you, you should be looking in front of you. In the case where you're going up in front of you, that's a really weird case, because how is there someone in front of you a moment after you just put your axe down? So that I understand that would be considered like a weird case. Likewise, you're not putting it back, you should expect maybe there's someone there. But you look, there wasn't anyone there, you went back. Then in the case where you're going up, wait, suddenly now there's someone there? So I think even according to the Rambam, it makes sense logically, if you were just asking logically, in which of these cases would I think is unusual, and which one would I think is, oh, you should have been paying more attention?
So, Jonathan, I think what you're saying is the following, that in the two, in what we called, I think, C,
in the
B, B and C, which were Derech Aliyah cases, right? Right?
B and D
were Derech Aliyah. Oh, B and D. So then all of a sudden, like, Ki'ilu, somebody shows up on top of you, let's say, you know, and let's say you're only 5 foot five, and this guy is 6 foot five, so he's a lot taller than you, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he showed up.
But no, because a moment earlier, there's a yurida to that exact location. So there's a yurida to that location. That's when you were entering that area, so to speak. So I'm entering the area in front of me with a big axe. I should make sure there's no one there. I just entered the area with a big axe, and now I'm lifting it up. I expected that area to be cleared, and I just looked a moment ago and I put it down. So likewise, look behind me. I looked behind me. I went back.
All right, maybe. No, I don't know.
So logically, it makes sense to me.
It's a valiant effort. You know, I applaud you for your effort.
I would say the concept is doing, he's in the middle of doing what he does. This is his job.
Right.
So there are certain cases where he's responsible because it's more prone that if he's not careful, that it could, and there are other, and then he would be chayev, and then there would be cases where somebody walking by sees the katzav, should be himself should be careful because this is the natural.
But I just want to point out to you that when the Rambam speaks about derech aliyah and he says it's, you know, it's a far fetched thing, what the Rambam is saying, I think, I want to just finish up to the Mishnah. The Rambam is saying that when you're climbing up something, you've got to be super duper careful for yourself. What are the chances of you climbing up and falling back over? You know, you got to be a very bad mountain climber to do that. You know, your life is in the balance.
Probably pretty high.
But in the case of the katzav, that's not at all what we're talking about. The katzav's not climbing up a ladder and holding onto the ladder for dear life. You know, the whole scenario of the Rambam is a little bit off, you know, off base, off cue here in the case of the katzav.
Correct, and you might ask the general question, why did the Mishnah pick a scenario of climbing up a ladder as the basis on his principle? But once they decided that is the clock.
Right, so then maybe
then it's across the board. We're taking
maybe a, that's the way you should
know,
go.
Subjective situation, I don't know. And I putting an objective
know.
Context.
I don't know.
No, what is the case of Torah of someone cutting with an axe wood? And therefore, and you don't expect the head of the thing to go flying off.
Oh, so that's what we're going to see
now. So this is, I mean, isn't the katzav more or less a variation of you're doing a job that...
All right, so let's not jump ahead. Let's just read it through. Leva ketanum. The Gemara wants to suggest that Rabbi Avo's question about the shleva is really a machlokes tanoim. And the Gemara quotes a braisa. It says the following. Hoya ole besulam. The Nishmata Shleva Mitato. One writes that Tani Chada says Chayov. It means that we view this as Derech Yerida, because as we said before, the Shleva is going down, maybe he's going down. Tanya Idoch, the other writer says, Potter, in the very same scenario. My love, Bahaka Miflegi. Mar Sovar, Dvar Sovar Yeridahi, Umar Sovar Aliyahi. Now, keep in mind, if we go with that approach, then Rabbi Yochanan is a little bit on shaky ground, because there's at least one Tana, one Raisa, that disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan clearly was of the view that Shliva is Derech Yerida. Correct? Because the Shliva itself is on its way down. But here's one Raisa that says, he's Potter, it's called Derech Aliyah. Lo. So Gemara says no. Now, at this point, when I saw the word lo, what I was anticipating is that Gemara would make a valiant effort to try to reconcile both prices with Rabbi Yochanan. Well, let's read it. I don't think this is going to bear me out. The kuli alma aliyahi. In other words, both prices really agree that nishpatah shleivah is considered derech aliyah, and you don't go to gols is exactly against Rabbi Yochanan. Interesting, right? Both prices are against Rabbi Yochanan. That's how I read this gemara. So v'lo kashba, how do we reconcile the two prices? Kan linzikin, kan legolus. In other words, these two brisos are addressing two different issues, two different scenarios. One brisa is talking with, there was no victim of a death victim here. Nobody was killed. Somebody was injured. As far as injury is concerned, we're not going to make any distinction between mezid, shogeg, derech aliyah, derech yirida. All those distinctions go down the tubes. And basically, adam mu'ud li'olam, which is a Mishnah in Bava Kama, daf Chavav, that no matter what you did, you are chayav. You got to pay damages. That's adam mu'ud li'olam. Kan legolus, and in Echinami, when it comes to golus, he's potter because this is considered derech aliyah. Why is it considered derech aliyah? Because his intention was to climb up the ladder, and even though the shleva went downward,
but his action is on the other. It's not the injury. It's not what happened to that piece of wood. It's going to him physically.
He's correct. He's physically, or again, that depends on what we said before. If he's going down, or he's going up. But certainly his intention is to go up, and if it's Litzar Chaliyah, we view that as Derech Chaliyah Yipater. It's exactly the opposite of Rabbi Yochanan. Iboy Seim, I'll give you a different approach, another answer to reconcile these two prices. Haveha Legolus. They both are talking about a case of Ritzicha, somebody died, Velo Kasha. What's the difference between the two brises? Hadi aslia. Aslia means that there were termites, whatever it is, but the bottom line is the shleva is very weak, and therefore when he puts his weight, you know, full down, steps on the shleva, it obviously goes down until finally it collapses. In such a case, he's chayiv golus. Ha delo aslia. It was a perfectly healthy ladder. It's been used by some of the big burly guys that weigh, 180 pounds. And he's just a weakling of 150 pounds. He didn't expect it to go down. That's called Derech Aliyah, and he's Potter. So again, if there's Asliyah, then we call it Derech Yerida and he's Chayef. If it's Lo Asliyah, that's called Derech Yerida. I'm sorry, that's called Derech Aliyah, and he's Potter. Right? So wait a minute. Is the Gemara now holding like Rabbi Yochanan or not? Let me just think. Is this Rabbi Yochanan says that since the shleva goes down, then it's Derech Yerida, and therefore he's Chayiv Golos. The Gemara is saying now that that's identified with the case of Asliyah. No, it's against Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara is still arguing with Rabbi Yochanan. Because again, Rabbi Yochanan is not talking about a case of Asliyah. He doesn't make any of that stipulations. He's talking about a case of a healthy ladder. But he's saying that since the weight of the climber, of the Rotzeach, bore down on the Shleva and killed somebody, that's called Derech Yerida, despite the fact that it is Litzarech Aliyah. Here we're saying, no, we need Derech Yerida because we have to know that this shleva is about to fall, it's about to collapse. We can scientifically predict that given the weight of the person and the weakness of the rung is going to go down. He's actually pushing the rung down. So whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't need him to be pushing the rung down, and gradually, you know, if we had it in slow motion in a film, we would see it going down because it's such a weak shleva. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it could be a perfectly healthy shleva. But the shleva went down. That itself makes it derech yerida nizkan. So it's interesting that, again, I'm waiting for the third answer to the Gemara. Maybe it'll be a turnaround, but so far the first two answers to the Gemara is rejecting Rabbi Yochanan. Eboy, same with third answer. Hava delo aslia. Good. If it's delo aslia, this is mamash the case of Rabbi Yochanan. So one brisa says that he's chayiv golos. That's great. But what about the brisa that says he's potter? Lo gasha. Ha dimi hadet. the shliva is tied down, you know, like there are these little pegs on the sides that they're really tight onto the ladder. Ha delomiyad. It's not tied down well. Basically, this is another version of asliya and lo asliya. The fascinating thing about these three answers is that the first answer is reconciling the brises by saying that we're talking about two different halachas, two different territories. You know, one is the territory of tort law, you know, paying damages, compensation for injuries, and the other is the laws of rotzeach. And then the other two answers are no. We're definitely talking about galus. There was a ritzicha, somebody died. The question is, was the shleva on its way down? And the Gemara gives two versions. Either it was on its way down because it's asliya, it's on its way down because it's lo mahadin. And this is the way Rashi understands the sugya. Tosis is not so happy about this. If you take a look at Tosis, Dibra Maskil v'ibayis ema, he says, lefi ha'ibayis ema, kuli alma savri yiridahi. The kashim kena amaylo kama de kuli alma yiridahi. Tosis claims that there's a piece that's missing here in the transition between the first answer and the second and third answers. The Gemara at some point should have said, wait a minute, everybody agrees in principle that it is Yerida if it's either Asliya or it's Lo Mahadeg. Whereas in the first answer, we're assuming that everybody holds its Derech Aliyah. And the only reason you're chayev in the case of Derech Aliyah is because he didn't get killed. The Brisa that says it's chayev means it's chayev in Ezekiel. The old kasha, kika amar meikar de kuli alma aliyahi. When the Gemara says in the first answer that both Brises agree that it's aliyah, in kain kasha Brisa zu, le Brisa de liel, oh, hishlech olav lahavi yiridichi l'tzark aliyah. In other words, everybody agrees that if it's a healthy, normal rung that's well tied down and tightly attached to the ladder, everybody agrees that he's potter from golus because it's l'tzark aliyah. Now, if that be the case, then it's against the price that says that Yerid Lutzark Ali is called Yitzark, it's called Derek Yerid and he's Chayav Ghost.
It's not Lutzark Ali, it is Aliyah. It's pushing down on a healthy.
No, but the Shleva killed the guy. So that's called Yerid.
But in a healthy run situation,
right.
It's not termite infested, it's not
right.
It's not loose, it was done, it was hard.
Right.
He's only going up. There is no Yerida.
No, again, it's Yerida because the murder weapon is the Yerida. El, what his intention is to go up in his on in his goal on the pathway to achieve his goal, the murder weapon is in a downward position. Kill somebody from up to down.
That's not relevant. The murder weapon. That's what we came back to. That's what he's in that case of a healthy run.
If you're telling me that this case is Yerida Litzarach Aliyah, like the Bryson that we had before, where he bends his body down in order to go up again. And so too, the shleva is going down, but because ultimately he wants to climb up the ladder, if that's the analogy, then Tosa says we have an absolute frontal, head-on collision between the brisa and what we're saying here in this brisa. Because what we said in that brisa is that we look at the murder weapon, and if the murder weapon was in a downward motion, he's kind of goes. Here we're saying, no, I'm not interested in the murder weapon. Ultimately, what was the process? And if the process was part of Aliyah, then you're part of Golos. And the only way we're going to establish that it's Chayav Golos is Asliyah, and so forth and so on, where he himself is pushing down in a downward motion. So those are Tosis's Tikkah. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here. The truth of the matter is, I had hoped to learn the Mishnah with you and then get up to the next Amud, which is Afches, but we'll do that next week. But I want to take this opportunity to thank everyone for coming. I mean, considering the weather.